Okay, we're continuing halacha. Thank you for the recognition. Before we get to actually looking at the din itself, tell you what the following. There's a Mishnah that says, you're allowed to eat honey from that you got from a goyim. Okay, the whole second paragraph, we've talked about the whole second paragraph, there's all kinds of things that you are or not allowed to eat foods from goyim, all different kinds of things. So the Mishnah says, you're allowed to eat honey. And it's clear in the Gemara that comes right afterwards that the Gemara is talking, that the Mishnah is not talking about honey straight from the hive, it's talking about cooked honey. Okay? The Gemara asks kashas and says things that make it clear that it's talking about honey that was cooked. Okay? So, Frekturash says, you're allowed to eat cooked honey? You're allowed to eat this cooked honey? He says, I don't understand. Didn't we learn this Gemara that we talked about last time? That says that you're now to eat shecher from goy. Says didn't the Gemara say you're now to eat shecher? So why is this any different? How come if you're now to drink shecher, how come you're allowed to drink this cooked honey thing? What's the difference between the cooked honey? Cooked honey meaning a cooked honey drink. What's the difference between drinking a drink made with cooked honey versus drinking shecher that the Gemara says like that? Okay, so the Rosh has two answers. Okay? The answers are not going to be not changing his mind on what's clear from what the Rosh is saying is that the fact that the honey is not alcoholic didn't bother him. The shecher, the Gemara says you're not drinking shecher. We saw two times ago that the shecher, that the literal translation, at least Lashon HaTorah, means something that's mishaker, that makes you, that's intoxicating. Okay? But the Rosh wasn't bothered by that. The fact that the Gemara said, you know, drink shecher, the Rosh says, wait a second, so why would I drink a beverage made out of honey? Well, why would I drink that thing? His tzurtzim don't say, no, that's alcoholic and that's not alcoholic. His tzurtzim are whatever his tzurtzim are. The Gemara didn't say, there's no rive in the Gemara. When the Mishnah says you're allowed to drink honey, it didn't say that you're allowed to drink meat. It's allowed to drink cooked honey. And he says it's a cheshmer from the Gemara, it's a cooked honey beverage. So when he could have answered this, the Mishnah is talking about one that's not alcoholic, and I'm talking about one, and the Gemara says shecher means an alcoholic one. No, so in fact, that's what I was going to bring in for you. I have a recipe for you. I was going to make it. Because I don't drink coffee or alcohol. A recipe from the 1500s for drink. It was roughly ginger ale, okay, at least in our imagination anyhow, of things that they used to make. They call it made dvash, okay? And the when the Mishnah says you like to drink dvash, or cook dvash in the beverage, let him just say, this and this is that. It's two different things, okay? And furthermore, the fact that that he's talking about a non-alcoholic honey is also like this. The Beis Yosef, when he brings this in, the Beis Yosef is in two stages. The first thing the Beis Yosef says is, he says, the Goyish Hashri say, and others, the Goyish Hashri, on this rush, to the Haggah, on that rush, says, you're allowed to drink honey. You're allowed to drink cooked honey. He argues on this. And the rush argues that, no, you're not allowed to drink this honey, this cooked honey beverage. Okay, first he means that Machlok, he goes, the Haggah Hashri says it's mutter, and the rush says it's dust. And then he says, you know, and there's some Rishonim who say that you're allowed to drink anything that's not Shecher tomorrow. And other Rishonim disagree about that also. Okay, so it's two different shaylas. One shayla is, one thing he talks about is it only for alcoholic beverages or also for non-alcoholic also? That's one thing. And then the second thing is it only shecher tomorrow? Is it all other things also? Okay, it's two different things. Okay, and if you look at the way the tour and the documentary talk about this thing, look at the listing of how they say it. They say shecher tomorrow moshal so'arim, v'chei mashka ha'asim midvash. The documentary shecher shotua, v'gam mashka ha'asim midvash. Meaning, the shecher, there's different kinds of shechers. Those are what we would call beers or things like that. And then a mash that you make from the vash, not alcohol. It's a different kind of a thing. It's not the same thing. Okay, so...
I don't see why it's not, but someone says it's here.
Does someone say it's here? The rush, I think it's a beer. The what? That's right, no, it's not there, okay. The way that they say it brings it as two different shilas, which is two different shilas. A shilas about dvash, is that motor? Hakar is a street in the rush, that's one child. Look at the second child. You know, what about other things that are not other alcoholic beverages made from tomorrow and things like that? Isn't that one big child? If it's alcohol, if it's meat, it's all one big child.
Different people discuss it.
No, he doesn't bring the matir and the person. He says, motor usher. It's two different child. It's like I said, it's two different
things. People discuss different applications.
Oh, no. I don't know if the state honey drink was alcoholic, then
So that's why I didn't bring in for you. I should have, that would have made you feel better if I would have brought
in. But is that true? Ginger. Is that true? The standard honey drink was alcoholic.
I have no reason to think so. I have no...
What? It's not the thing. You have no idea.
So when the Mishnah says dvash, that means it's mead?
Everything.
The alcohol,
yeah, no.
Whatever.
Oh, then you're back.
It's the same
like
no,
that.
So then the Rosh says, so the reason why the Mishnah says it's mutter is because it's non-alcoholic, and what's usher is the alcoholic one. What do you think?
You didn't see a chilek. You didn't see alcoholic or non-alcoholic
being a chilek. That's what I'm making my point. That the Rosh holds that when the Gemara says Shecher is usher, it means even non-alcoholic beverages. That's what he's saying then. If he thinks they're the same.
It's too unclear. We're based on history.
But this is a basic. Why did Rosh just say that? What you saying? Because it was so positive. When the Mishnah said honey, it obviously must have meant wheat. Okay. So now, maybe you'll be so happy then to see what I'm about to show you. To me, then it's a surprise because when we look in Shulchan Aruch, okay, it's different in the Shulchan Aruch than the way it says the Torah says it. Okay, look what the Shulchan Aruch says. It is called Shecher Shel Kusim. Okay, that's how we would have expected it to say. Okay, when the Chachuzon brings it, they call it a Shecher Shel Dvash. Okay, as opposed to the Torah of the Takimersha and the Rosh, who talked about a Mashkesh Oisim Mitvash, something that you make out of Dvash, as opposed to they're not saying a Mash you make out of Dvash, it's a different kind of Shecher. You make Shecher and all these different types of things. Look at the Ramah. V'yesh Batim B'Shecher Shel Dvash V'Tvur. There's different ways of making shecher. Okay, the way the Chachosom calls it, shenikra mead. Okay, that's what it says, shenikra mead. I'm going to put it on screen. That's shenikra mead. Okay, which is what we'd expect. Okay, this is, you know, we back from our old screens like that. That's what mead is. Okay, mead is when you ferment honey, you end up with mead. Okay, so that's from our two times ago honey screens. So to me that I thought the Rosh, was saying even non-alcoholic. And the Beis Yosef always clarified about that child. To me, he's clarifying that child. What you do with non-alcoholic beverages is included in this Isser of Shecher, or is it not included? So why didn't the Machaber tell us? Like, why does the Machaber leave us? He tells us the din about this case. What about if it was not alcohol? Okay, so to me that was just odd. Okay, now the Ramos might make about everything, but to me that's a little strange.
He doesn't
say the word non-alcoholic. First he brings this Shaila about Dvash. About Mashkesh Oisim Mitvash. So why is it being, two different childhoods? So, I don't want to say why is that. There's Mikilim and there's Machmirim. So, okay.
But why does he ask it anyway?
So this is Shecher Shel Dvash. So the Machaber holds,
Okay, you're trying to say that, no, it's no problem. Everything stems.
Right. And here's
but
my.
No, but the Machaber, all they're discussing is alcohol beverage. I understand, but why does Machaber matter?
He's machmir.
Why is he asking? The Rosh is machmir.
No, because he told the Hagosh Yeshu is machmir. So he says, Hosef to other Rishon.
So that makes sense that the Shtim with the Hadabes Yosef.
The flow of the Beis Yosef. Because the second part of the Beis Yosef says, all Shecher, the second part of the Beis Yosef says, every kind of Shecher is also not just Shecher, but all Shecher. So this would stem the way we would understand why he should say this case. Shecher Shel Dvash, we understand why he should make it also. He's not telling us what he thinks about non alcoholic.
Dvash Shaila that the Rosh is discussing, which is matter.
Which the Rosh is matter, the Rosh is matter. We don't see it in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch is not telling us what, that to me is odd. Well, tell me what you think about that then.
Is
that
Mudos? Or he is discussing it.
Right. Okay.
So you're saying he's discussing it and he's being machmer. Yeah, he's being machmer. I'm saying there's a Shtim of the Beis Yosef.
Well, he's for sure machmer on Shecher Shel Dvash. That I know
Beis Yosef. Who asks?
Does he
do the Beis Yosef? Usually the Rosh is
matter. Do we think you'd follow the Rosh? That's great.
Or do we say, yeah, you make machlokes out of it at least?
Right.
Get that wrong from.
Okay.
Pass by the Rosh. Should we open the Rosh?
He
brings
the
machlokes. He doesn't bring the machlokes.
Just says
it's not the Torah.
And
then
they're
sinister. So
I'm saying he's not passing like that. You're saying he's passing like a smother.
He's not saying. I'm saying that the Shulchan Aruch is not telling us what he thinks about non-alcohol. Or maybe
it's not a rabbi.
By non-alcohol,
they said it's
not a
shaykh. That's what you're saying.
Okay, maybe you can say that. I didn't think it like that, but that could be. Okay, so. Now, if I was right, that non-alcoholic dvash would be usher going to the Rosh, so what's the limit then? We used to think the limit was, until a few minutes ago, you thought the limit was it has to be alcoholic beverages. if it includes even non-alcoholic mitzvahs, what's the end? How far does it go? What, so everything? Every beverage is also? When the Gemara says Sheikha means everything? So I thought that Hod Gufa is what was why the Rosh said the din. Remember the last time I told you, the Rosh says something that has no makor in the Gemara. He just says it as if it's kosher to him. Remember what he says is that the only time it's usher to drink is if you're kavei atzmei lishtos. If the person is there, if you happen to be going there because you're thirsty, that's not usher at all. And the Gemara doesn't say that. He makes up a new kula that the Gemara never said, that if you're going just because you have to be thirsty, then it's okay. So what I thought was, the Rosh is understanding, the reason why the Gemara picked on the word Shechar, even though I, Rosh, hold that includes even the non-alcoholic, is because, not because of the Shechar, the alcohol Shavoy, but the type of the way you drink this thing. When you sit down to drink Shechar, when you sit down to drink a beer, you're not thirsty, you're drinking because you're enjoying the whole, it's an experience. You're enjoying sitting and having this drink. And so other things, if made Dvash is a thing like that also, well, then that would also be included. What happens if you're just going in because you're thirsty, you want orange juice and you want a drink? Then that's not included. So the wine is not everything. It's Chol Gufa, is what the Rosh said last time. That the Rosh says that it's things that are, when people drink them because they're sitting down to have a drink, rather than just because they're thirsty. That was where the Rosh came up with this thing that said that things like that are
yeah, the Mechaber is Mekel.
The Mechaber is?
Mekel.
Is Mekel give what?
You're saying the Rosh had to come up with this
school
of the Shikasa.
Non-alcoholic
beverages are
also. Right.
So then why the
Mechaber wouldn't hold on? I think if the Mechaber, well, he didn't tell us what he thinks about Mekel. Yossi's name is Dai, so he needs to see Mekel, so then he didn't have to say that. Okay, that's a fair question. Okay, maybe it's not told. Okay, so now, that leads us to Chacham Sam. Okay. Chacham Sadon, last time I told you, Chacham Sadon said, so I'm going to bring to you on the screen in a second, I don't distract you for a second. Chacham Sadon says that the ikkaradin is, or the minig is, to be mekel, like the Ramah, that we could eat shecher of anything except for shecher tomorrow. But he says, the Baal Nefesh should be machmir, I'm going to show you in a second, the Baal Nefesh should be machmir for the Shitas HaMachaber. If he brings it, you'll see in parentheses on the Prechadosh, who says you machmir for the Shitas HaMachaber. He says, that's in the first paragraph. He says, but all of that only applies, as the Prechadosh says, the Prechadosh talks about whether it applies to alcoholic beverages or even non-alcoholic beverages. He says, it's a good idea that you should be machmir, for a Baal Nefesh should be machmir. He says, v'chein, coffee and chocolate, okay? Chocolate, we eat nowadays chocolate in like bars of chocolate, okay? But in those days, when chocolate was first brought to Europe, people, the way people ate it was as hot chocolate, okay? It was a beverage that people drank, so it was like coffee and chocolate. People drank it was like a coffee shop and a chocolate shop. Really, it's mutter to drink it, because we're only machmir, even he thinks for a Baal Nefesh should only be machmir for alcoholic beverages. But I'm going to say in Harabim that we saw all kinds of problems from people who hang out in these places and end up interacting with Goyim, so it leads to all kinds of problems, and therefore a person should avoid these kind of things, which is along the lines, I told you last time from the Rajput, the whole feeling of the Chacham Sadon is like the Rajput, who says, this whole din of Shechar is not a din that Chacham imposed on us. That people realize that it led to all kinds of problems, and people on their own realize they should stay away and avoid these kind of foods, these kind of interactions with God, and we're eating in their places. So nowadays, the thing that people interact with, of course, the Baal Nefesh should avoid the alcoholic beverages, going to bars, but also you should avoid going to coffee shops and the coffee chocolate shops, because it leads to the same kind of problems. Okay, so from this, there are those who said that a person should, the same din, not only should a person should be machmir, like the Chacham Sadon says, to be machmir with the Shitas HaMachaber, to not drink in a bar, in a non-Jewish bar, should I say, or in a goy's house, not only should he be machmir for those kind of things, but the person should even be machmir to not go to coffee shops. Okay, but what is a coffee shop for us? Okay, now, in the past, I don't know, 10, 20 years, there's a very common thing. Starbucks is a very, that's a coffee shop. And people go there and they hang out. Okay, they sit there.
Coffee shops are the same. Beis Akum is
there's a relationship with the owner. You go to the counter, you buy something, you send your table, you have no shackles on the table next to you.
So I don't know. The deal is the Makam Mechirasa. Mechirasa in a bar doesn't mean that I know the guy.
No, look at it. You know, it's like the Bishl Akam Kutramashin. There's a shackles with the Mashal. You have no shackles to the guy.
I don't know if the shackles is only from the cellar or if it's a place where people sit down and they drink.
To a Starbucks.
So I was clear about that. Well, if we would think that what the Chacham Sofer is saying is to treat it exactly like you treat the Isser Shecher is even by yourself. It's Mukach from Megor. Even the Shecher, even for the guy to sit by himself on his own little table and eat it, once it was Usher, you're not allowed to do that. So if he means it literally to take it like that Isser, then you can't sit at the table and drink by yourself either. Okay, that's what, in the case of the Gemara, to drink Shecher, you couldn't drink even by yourself. But if he meant it just as from the interaction side of it,
that's
not the chanuz. Why is it not the chanuz? Why is that?
The chanuz in those days was a different chanuz.
That's exactly what goes on in Starbucks. People sit down and they sit with each other.
The server.
No, because it's not true. Because it's a social place. It's a social place. And the Gemara says,
that's
you don't have to know. But it's a social place. So the Gemara says that in the base Mechirasa, you can't even drink by yourself. So if it's a social type of place, it is, and if Starbucks is, so then you can't. If this issue would apply to that, you wouldn't be allowed to eat by yourself either. Not just that you can't eat with the guy or with the seller. It's that kind of a place. But all you can say is, no, the Chacham Sofer just said was, we should keep that in mind by going to these kind of places. So don't go with someone who's not Jewish and sit down in the Starbucks and eat with them. Then that would be in mind. But if you're sitting by yourself, so technically it's not also, it's not what the Gemara is saying, it's a Shecher. This Chumra, to be Chayshish, maybe it'll lead to social interactions. What's the problem? I'm sitting by myself.
Well, perhaps it's only the Bataya at Mamish, and they're real house, not an
inn
or a...
No, it could be, he means that.
We don't know. We just made it up. The Chacham Sofer was on his own.
Right, so the Chacham Sofer is telling us to keep this whole thing in mind, not just for the technicality, but for expanded cases also. You know?
Okay. I don't know how we could extrapolate, because last week you were mentioning you have Bishul Akum, you have Pas Akum, you have now Mashkos and everything, and the Chassam made a certain Zeris. But we don't know why they made the Xeris the way they made it. For example, Bishul Yisrael. So what sense does it make that it could be cooked by a Yid, but then you could socialize with someone else eating? So we don't really understand what's behind the different Xeris. So therefore, when they made a Xeris like this, they didn't say, you know, to go further, the next step. Here you're going the next step.
You're right. So by the technicalities, there's nothing in the room. The Chacham Sofer is saying is, but the reason why they asked it is because of the interactions it brings to, and we're smart enough, so you don't have to be
extrapolating.
Right, 100%. So he's not saying that it's the technicality of the Israel. He's saying it's me as a community rabbi.
You're
not a good
idea. Yes,
right, that's what he's saying. So he says, what does he say? I can call Asher Bar Rech, Torah, Yarach, Nizeh.
The person is.
So he's not saying Asher, but. So you should.
Back to what I was saying. Do we have any idea? Like what was behind the Xeris of Bishul Yisrael?
What do you mean? Basic reason.
It says Mishum Chasson, so it doesn't make sense. So you have a Yid who was cooking it, and then you're allowed to eat it together with the guys. And
Right.
You don't get to be involved in the cooking, it's automatically a barrier.
It's a mental.
You can put in a kissel also. So why did they go ahead and do the same Xeris like they did with Mashkos? You can't socialize.
That's a good question. Okay.
That would be more effective. Because some people go to Starbucks and don't drink anything. They just go to meat or whatever.
Right. Okay. So you should know, Rogowski once talked about it, Le'inyan, a person drinking like in a rest stop. Okay, so there, and I don't understand the connection, because in the rest stop case, if mom's the guy's going... to make himself for thirst, just he needs a drink. You know, he's not parking himself and making a whole scene out of it. That rush, the Chacham Sofer will tell us to be making about the Kesenia. But his point was, he says, when we want to be machmir for the Chacham Sofer, if your person wants to be machmir for this Chacham Sofer, it means it's in a social type setting. Meaning, the Chacham Sofer didn't mean to say we should treat it exactly like the din and all the technicalities of it, like you can't eat by yourself. The guy wants to eat by himself, so eat by himself. Like, what's the difference? Do I take a Starbucks and I go home? So, you know, according to the technicalities of the din, you can't eat it when you can get home. So can I take it according to it? He was looking at it as that you have to just take it for what it is, that the concern is the socialization. So if I sit down by myself, or I sit down with another year, we're sitting together, so maybe we shouldn't be so worried about it. Okay. So let's now move on. Let's move on. Naniach that it was mutter to eat in the Starbucks, so you could take the food home. Like the Rush says, one of the Rush's answers that I didn't tell you, one of the Rush's answers was, when the Mishnah says you're allowed to drink Tavash, what the Mishnah meant was, of course you're going to follow the rules, like the Gemara is going to say, you can take it home. Okay, so like, so that's what we're talking now, whether you could drink the stuff in Starbucks, like that terrace in the Rush, that it means is, however it's mutter, either mom, if you think it's mutter to drink in the store, or you're going to take it home. Okay, so like this. Well, I'm going to do this sort of quickly. Okay, and that is like this. In the person wants to drink in the Starbucks, lots of people want to go to Starbucks. So the simplest thing is, there are some things that you can't drink them because we don't know if the ingredients are kosher. Okay, the ingredients themselves are kosher. Okay, the one that used to get the people the most, which is not the question anymore, was Frappuccinos. But the base that they made it out of was a child. They didn't know if it was kosher. Okay, it so happens that at this point they already know that they're kosher. Okay, but there are toppings and all kinds of fun other things, lemonade. There's a few things here and there. Mom is only a handful now that the ingredients themselves are ones that we have questions about. Those ingredients make us think you can't drink them. Okay,
lemonade's trafe.
What'd you say?
Lemonade's trafe.
Trafe? Okay.
Trafe juice.
Okay, so there are ones that maybe we can know that their mom is trafe. Okay, let's see. But that's not the biggest part of the question. Those are a couple of things that people would have to avoid. The bigger part is that the coffee shop is more than just a coffee shop, and it's turned into like a mini restaurant. Okay, and what really makes problems for us is that they serve sandwiches, and not only do they serve sandwiches, but they serve hot sandwiches. They take the sandwiches, they stick them into this oven. Usually the sandwiches have meat and chicken and all kinds of for the chazarai, and they therefore they're heating up that stuff. They heat it up on plates, and there's actually a plate that sits in the oven itself, that stays all the time, and then those get washed with our kalim. Okay, so the shaitas that we have are, of course, no one's going to eat the sandwiches. Of course, I should have mentioned that. Of course, those things don't have hashkafa on them. Like sandwiches and cakes and things like that don't have hashkafa. But the shaitas, do they affect everybody else? Do their presence and the fact that they were made hot then get washed together and everything else, does that make shaitas for the kalim? Okay, so before we talk about some of the details, just some of them, there's three different ways to approach that question. Before we talk about the actual questions, the pleas. One approach was to say is, let's look at the din. Whatever the din says, some things that make pleas that are usher, some things that pleas that are mutter, not everything that's a potential plea really is enough to make something treif. So whatever the din is, this is going to be mutter, this is going to be us. That was one approach to look at it and say is, either look at each shayla separately and either it's mutter or it's usher. That was one approach. Okay. Rabbi Schwartz said, we should not take that approach. Okay? Rabbi Schwartz said, no, we're Hashgacha. We have to tell people to go a higher road. We have to tell them what's really okay and what's really not okay. And anything that has even a bits of shilos to it is not what we want to tell people they should be eating. Okay? They will turn to us to find out, you know, kulas based on this and cheshbonos and this and that. What? So Rabbi Schwartz said, tell them. We have to tell them the way things, when we tell them something is good, they know they can trust us that it's perfectly good. That was Rabbi Schwartz's way of looking at it, which is what we do. And the Starkei took a little bit of a different approach. They also want to go on a, they say, we're a hashgacha, we tell you what's right. But at the same time, they tell you, if it's a shasat ha, a person's on the road, they're stuck. These are the things you could do, meaning that they're
stuck. Right, every year is not that stuck.
When you're on the road,
it's a major finish in from Rabbi Feinemann's Taich in the Night of Yehuda, but he holds any time you're driving, you're mutter to drink any of these things because of the Night of Yehuda.
Because what?
What's the Night of Yehuda? He said it?
I said because...
No. Anytime you're on the road, you're allowed to call Shasat Chag.
That's what I said. So he's telling you that these are situations that you could be mako, even though it's not perfectly without shilas, but you could be mako because
what I was trying to clarify is that it's not your shasalka. Being on the road is just is tight shasalka.
Okay, the same thing. The point is that he's saying, as this is now not saying, I as Hashgacha only tell you what's perfectly beautiful. I, as a community rabbi, could tell you that you should be making on this in this case. Okay, so it's not completely saying, Mikra, this is what's mutter nasser. It's like in between to say, this is what you should really, this is as a Hashgacha, I should tell you what's right. And me, as a rabbi, will tell you, well, I said this is what you should be. Okay, so that's just different approaches to how to take this off. Okay, so now, and one more set of instructions before I tell you what the detail of the shaila is, that we're going to make two hanochas. Okay, in our thinking this through, we're going to make two hanochas. The first is that if we have something that the only thing treif about it is that it has a flavor that we don't know if the flavor is kosher or not, if we don't know about the flavor, we won't recommend that item. You can't have it if you don't know if the flavor is kosher, but that won't treif up the kalim. Okay, there's a long-standing shita. It's not really for now, but we make an assumption that if something has a flavor that we don't know if it's kosher, then we don't eat it, but we won't, it won't treif up the kalim. Okay?
It was treif.
If the flavor was treif, we have to think that more carefully. Second is that the we make an assumption, we talked about this when we learned Simikov Tesvav, that if something is made on kalim where Cholof Stam was made on that, those kalim, you're allowed to eat that. You could eat that. You, a person who only eats Cholof Yisrael, can eat that thing that's made on there. Now, not everybody agrees that. That's why we talked about in Kofta as well. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't agree with that. If you eat Cholof Akam on a Kli, but we taking an assumption that what we're going to say is going to make an assumption that just because something is made on kalim that were Cholof Stam, but it was kosher, you're allowed to eat things made on those kalim. You can't eat it with fleshings because it's milchins, but you can eat it as in by itself, you could eat it. That's an assumption that we're making, an assumption that not everybody agrees to that assumption. Okay.
CRC things as being, like if you see a CRC half shell tunnel, could it be made in dairy equipment?
No. Well, we call it dairy equipment. Well, for the simple reason, that would be milchins. Okay, that would be for the simple reason. But no, even off the Chol Stam Shema, no, we would not do that. We wouldn't do it. Wow. But what would I do in my house? Or what would a person do privately? Say, could you eat something made on Chol Stam Kalim? So then these assumptions are making that, yes, it's okay to eat things made on Chol Stam Kalim. In other words, I'm going to the Starbucks and I'm in the Hashkacha. Can I eat them? Okay, so there's a few parts. Okay, there are two places in the store that are Kli Rishon. Okay, in Bliyas, we don't care only how hot something is. We care if it's a Kli Rishon or Kli Shein. There are two things that are Kli Rishon. That is the oven. And something I told you that makes the sandwiches in it, that makes these plates and the tray that's in there a Kli Rishon tray as a Kli Rishon. And the other Kli Rishon is a wand in a machine, a wand, okay, that makes, and then the espresso bar. Espresso is a concentrated coffee, okay, that's not the problem yet, a concentrated coffee. But together with that concentrated coffee called an espresso, there's a thing that steams up beverages, particularly milk. Okay, people like to steam up milk. And what you do is you take a cup full of your apple juice or your usually milk, stick it into a wand, and the wand blows steam into the thing to puff it up, whatever you want to call it. Okay, so that wand is a Kli Rishon. Okay, there's steam pouring right out of it, and your beverage is being cooked right in that thing, so to speak, being cooked in that. Okay, so those are the two places where there's a Kli Rishon. A Kli Rishon, of course, is what really makes Bliyas. Okay, most of the other things most other ways for the town to potentially transfer are either Iru Kli Rishon or Kli Sheni. The difference is that if something is only Iru Kli Rishon, it only is Mavliya Kedei Klipa, it has a very small amount of Bliya that it could transfer in. And if it's a Kli Sheni, then we're Machmir L'Chatila, but if a Kli Sheni, B'dyevet is not going to make Chungi trade. Okay? If something's in a Kli Sheni, we would L'Chatila wouldn't want to do it, but B'dyevet is not going to make the food trade. Okay, so a big point of contention, I'll pass it, but I'm not going to talk to you the whole details. A big point of contention was the things that have that are Ebrei are, there's a dish machine, it's called. Okay, it's not really a dishwasher, it's a sterilizing machine. It's a dish machine and a sink. And a sink. Okay, and the sink is a three-compartment sink. Those are all have potential blues of Ebrei.
Are you talking about every place or specifically Starbucks?
This is how Starbucks runs. Most other places have roughly the same idea. You know, give or take. So each one needs to be thought about separately. But Starbucks is pretty similar all over the place. They have their way that they run. Thank you for mentioning, because I forgot to mention, I should have said, that there's two types of Starbuckses. I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. There's the full Starbuckses that make the sandwiches like I just told you about. And then there's what we call the kiosks. Okay, I think we made up that word. Kiosk, which is it their word? Is their term? Okay, a kiosk is a little Starbucks. Okay, tends to be like just in another store or something like that. And those kiosks don't serve sandwiches. That's enough gamina. They don't serve these hot sandwiches.
Many of them stores they do.
Well, then we don't call them kiosks.
Maybe they're ready made.
Who cares if they have a whole bar? Who cares if they have a whole bar? They have a sink. They have a sink. The sink is a more serious item than the whole bar is. So the long standing argument. We had somebody call to save me. But
and a lot of kiosks
So then we wouldn't call them kiyas. In our terminology, we would call them. It's not, they're not charred. We don't care if they make it. No, dumb, but they serve it too hot. They take the sandwich, put it into the oven, and heat it up for you.
What does Popar mean?
It's brand name. It's a dishwasher. It's a kind of dishwasher. It's like a dishwasher. You put the thing, it's for sterilization. The clean dishes are clean, you put them in, and you sterilize them in there. I should have mentioned this before, we're machalic between the ones that serve the hot sandwiches and the ones that don't. If they don't serve the hot sandwiches, then these blear shilas are almost nothing. There's almost no blear shilas.
You don't know chushas that they took kaden from a different Starbucks or anything like that?
No, not at all. No, that's not chushas. Okay, so in the sinks and this dish machine, they're irreclusion, or maybe even a cliche need. But the question is, So we say, okay, well, irreclusion potentially can make something trafe. It's not easy to make something trafe with irreclusion, but potentially. So the question was like this. The sink is what's called a three-compartment sink. The first sink, it's a sink that has three sections. So the first section always has soap in it. So people said, well, if the first section always has soap in it, then it was pugging any bleeds that are in the clay. You don't have to worry about it anymore. The next sections don't have soap in them. We don't have to worry about that. That was a chazanish we talked about a long time ago, not for today. But that we assume that's not correct. Okay? You can't be pugging into something. Okay? The way we pugging things for making any binyam is its own chayla. We talked about it in Hagol's Kelim. But we assume that you can't be pushed pigim in and make it pugging for good. So even if today I wash it in the soapy water, if the next sink over is a regular water, then it has a chashash. But again, it's only a chashash of a klisheni. Okay? So klisheni is only something min hadin, but only is a lachatil. You shouldn't do it. You can't make it. Why would you say it? Because you put water into the sink, and then you dump the dishes in. And even if you did Iwari, what would be the Iwari? Iwari is only when the water, exactly what the water hits to. So the water can't hit the treif kli and the kosher kli at the same time. The blear can't get from the treif to the kli. So let's say, so the treif kli had Iwari clearation. So who cares? The treif kli was treif beforehand. The kosher kli had Iwari clearation, nothing happened to it. How did the blear get from the treif kli to the kosher kli? So you can't just through Iwari, it's only in the cliche. After the water settles, now the tam could potentially transfer. So don't do it with But the evidence is not going to make it.
It's the same, like in your kitchen.
Yeah, but the water, the clay, I'm not sitting in the sanitizer, they're sitting on a rack, and the water is just shooting at them. So that's Iwari. When water shoots from one place to another place, that's Iwari. So water gets heated up over here, and it gets squirted over there. That's Iwari. Yeah, it's Iwari.
The sink is what?
I don't know, a little less, but they're okay. So the shiloh that's the least shiloh, which for some people is the most practical, but it's the least shiloh, is where they're actually just a plain black coffee, and that's because the only potential shiloh is a piece of metal called a brew basket. When you brew coffee, you're basically dripping hot water through the ground up coffee. What they call the coffee grinds. So the water goes through the coffee, and then the coffee is sitting on a paper filter. Just like in a coffee machine here, on a paper filter, and what holds that together in the machine is this metal frame, a frame that holds the whole thing together. So I should have had a picture for you, of a frame of metal holding a paper filter on which is ground up coffee, and the water, the coffee drips through. So let's say that our frame was kosher, what we call the brew basket. Let's say that piece of metal was kosher, was trafe. Let's say it got trafe even in the washing machine. Let's even be kosher. How would the blear get from that piece of metal into my drink? What does it have to do to get into my drink? So it has to go through the paper and the grinds into the water that's dripping through. Okay.
The water is passing through the... Once it goes to the grinds and the filter, then it passes through the basket.
No, it doesn't. The basket is holding the paper from a distance. Okay, it's holding... Most of the water doesn't touch it. It's not a full thing. It's just like a frame. And even were it to touch it, it would be touching as a cliché. It's been dribbling through the coffee grind. So it's touching this cliché. Let's say the basket was shed because it was washed in the machine together with the... The worst case scenario that the basket... It goes for 2 minutes. It goes for...
You know, one coffee after the other.
No, it doesn't go one coffee after the other. They make coffee until they sell all that coffee. Then an hour later...
It does get... The metal itself goes very hot from the... It becomes a double goose almost.
Yeah, come on. We have a gallon of water is pouring through coffee grinds. So how hot is the metal going to get? I don't mean it can't get hot, but it's an ear for 5 minutes, water pours through it. That's not enough to make it into a clear vision.
It's very hot, the metal.
I don't disagree that it gets hot.
The coffee grinds stay in the basket. Do they empty it out right away, or do they just stay there?
stays there.
So it's not because...
Or gush.
When the dust, when the coffee grinds are there, there's no more coffee there. I don't care. So the coffee grinds are chafed, they go in the garbage. They go in the garbage.
Well, if it's chafed coffee grinds sitting on a tray, then it makes the basket chafe.
We assume the basket was chafed. It was from the washing machine, right. Dishwasher. Yeah. So how is it going to make the coffee chafe? The coffee's going to drip through. So half an hour later... What?
Use it once, and then the next...
Of course. You throw the filter in the garbage, and the grinds in the garbage. When it's time to make a new pot, they put up a new thing. So it's hard to imagine that could be chafed. And for the person who's in the more desperate state, I'm talking about the person who has, you know, all kinds of, who can pronounce all the words to describe what kind of drink he wants. But the guy who says, can I have a coffee? That person, the brew basket has the least chance. Okay, but then, the thing that we love to tell people is this is a espresso machine that I mentioned before that makes these concentrated drinks that has no chance because it gets washed in place. It doesn't go into the dish machine and to the sink. Okay, so... Good question. So, okay. So, I didn't say. I said silence. Yes.
The reason you're saying is that what's called the brew machine, which has the sleeve on the milk?
The one, that's special machine. The one in the bar.
So the only reason why it's not a problem is because you're saying that dairy equipment is not
in the one part of it. The part that makes the shots. All it does is just make coffee. That's all it does makes coffee.
No, but if I want to be racked by their equipment, then I can't use it.
No, that part, again, all that makes is just coffee. Does it make... There's two parts of the same machine.
The one,
that's just for
if you want to heat something up.
Heating up milk.
If you don't want to heat up milk, give me just the concentrated coffee that you can get, because that's not being steamed up. It's on the left side. If you want to add that to hot water, you take some of that stuff, add it to hot water, you haven't got anywhere near the Hofstam. The Hofstam is on the same machine, because sometimes they go together, but they're not the same machine.
Is it one that used to fluff up anything
trafe? Fluff up milk. So if you're concerned about Hofstam kalem, then no. But otherwise, what?
Creamer.
And the cream tends to be kosher. It does cream also. The cream tends to be kosher. That depends on where you are.
Anyway, you got to follow the shot divider, because he's about to go get it.
Okay. You can talk about the shot divider. Let me just finish up my Tivana. Okay? Just for a minute. Now, the Tivana is...
It is not what Rabbi Schwartz said.
I started by telling you what Rabbi Schwartz said. That's why I started with Rabbi Schwartz. But, okay, so now...
Let me tell you what happened.
No, that's not. When the tapings were off, hey, what really happened? Okay. When I said Rabbi Schwartz, when we tear off the tape, I'll tell you more. The Tivana is a chain of stores, and it said it's on coffee, sells tea. The Tivana that I saw wasn't the same kind of a sit-down kind of a place. You can come there, but I don't know if it's the same shadows of the Chacham Sodom of a place where you hang out and drink in the place. I don't know exactly how the stores work. But the shadows are a little different. So let's put the Chacham Sodom aside. That's how we came to this today, but put the Chacham Sodom aside. But there's a few things. They have a zillion varieties of tea. Okay? You can't imagine how many varieties they have. But the good news is that they're very open to tell you what's in each blend. Okay, sitting on the canister, you go in there, in this store, you're supposed to come in there and buy leaves. Literally, they scoop them out for you. You buy the leaves to take them home and brew tea, or to brew it right there, to brew tea. So on each container, it tells you exactly what's in it. It says, this is called whatever a variety, and then it tells you all the ingredients in it. So the ingredients, the ones that are made with just plain dried out leaves, those are pisader. Okay, but some of them, so those are the ones that you can actually use, but many of them have in them either flavors or all kinds of other things that are a little bit more sensitive. So if a person wanted to buy just leaves, they could do that as long as they're careful. As long as they look at each one of them and see what the ingredients are, these ones are better and these ones are worse. Okay, but they also at the store brew tea for you. It had tea sitting there waiting for a person to buy actually a cup that you could drink. And then they brew the tea the same equipment for all the different varieties.
Yeah, so flavored teas also?
Mm-hmm. A lot of the teas have flavor in them. Or other things.
Flavored before.
In the mix, there's already stuff, there's a flavoring mix into the thing. So we have a shaila just of the fact that if I'm buying the already made tea, how do I know even if the variety that I'm buying happens to be all kosher, the already brewed, maybe it was brewed in kale that were not kosher also. And just an interesting thing to throw in. Just an interesting thing to throw in. When I was at that store, I was at a Tivana store. They showed me something. I feel bad that I didn't buy it, which was, they said to me, we have these mugs that we sell for people to make their tea in. They said, and these mugs, they're ceramic mugs. And they say, they tell you, you should buy a different mug for each flavor. Mapatom. They said, because if you make a couple of cups of tea in this cup, if you put in water, it'll taste exactly like that tea already. And you don't have to put in more leaves into it. You put it in the cup. So therefore, if you get
up your loyal glaze.
So I don't remember, but so the point was, if you buy for three different flavors, you can all get mixed up flavors. You should buy separate ones. I didn't care about buying separate ones, but to me, it was like a living example. We finally found the clear that it clears. Right? Wow, we have a good no. And we don't it clears every place. To them, it was like obviously, if you put in water after a couple times, you're going to taste the tea we're trying to make.